After one. How's everybody doing? All right. So we're going to start a series. Is that showing up? Yep. We're going to start a series on our relationship with God. And the plan anyway, we'll see how it goes, is to spend some time looking at David and his relationship with God. But it seems, if we're going to talk about having a relationship with God, rather than looking at David first, seems like maybe we should look at God first. It just seems to make sense. How many of you have read the book by Henry Crete, Worship the King? That's a great book, I think, kind of get started. And really, what it's about is worshiping God, that our services should be worshiping God and our lives should be worshiping God. And as you're probably aware, since we've been announcing it every week for about 2 months, we're doing a class on the book of Revelation. So I thought what we could do is just spend some time just going through Revelation, looking at the times where we're focusing in on God and we're worshiping God. In fact, there are many, many, if you want to call it worship service. You know how we say worship service? Well, that's really redundant, because the word worship means service. That's like the Rio Grande River, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I have to train myself not to say worship service, to either say service or worship. Otherwise, I'm repeating myself. So we're just going to essentially go to places where God is being worshipped in Revelation, and it's all over. The book is saturated with worship. By the way, one thing I'll tell you now, if you don't find worship exciting and interesting, you're going to be bored to death in heaven, all right? And so, you know, so in order to help us have that closer relationship with God, how many of you have heard at least 10 lessons on having a close relationship with God? At least 10. How many have heard at least 30 lessons on having a close relationship with God? All right. So maybe, possibly, what we don't need is a nuts and bolts lesson about why we need to have a close relationship with God and how to have a close relationship with God. Maybe that's not what we need. Maybe what we need to do is love God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's what we're talking about, is loving God. All right? And, you know, for me in my marriage, I don't need, you know, every 3 weeks a reminder that I need to be close to my wife. I don't need that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're going to do. So let's go to Revelation 1. So in Revelation 1 here, we're going to get introduced to one of the two main characters, really three main characters in Revelation. One is the Father. The other one is the Son. And the third one is the Holy Spirit. All right, so we're going to get introduced to the second of those characters. We're going to read in Revelation 1. Now, before we do this, I want you to kind of form in your mind a picture of Jesus. Just a picture of Jesus. Where's that picture coming from? I mean, just when what brings that picture to mind?
Portrait of video of the same.
All right. All right. Reading the Gospels, probably. All right. Good. So you got your picture. You got a mental picture. All right. That's Jesus. All right. Now let's see. Let's get a picture of Jesus from Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 10. Is that for me? Oh, good. My voice is pretty crisp. Thank you. Am I allowed to come to that game if I root for the Broncos? I root for the Chargers every single time, unless they play the Broncos. All right. On the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on the scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches: to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." And I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. That comes from Daniel 7 and Daniel 10. You can read about that. dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Is that the picture you got in your mind when you were thinking about Jesus a couple minutes ago? Because when you're in heaven, this is what you're going to see when you see Jesus. It kind of changes your picture, doesn't it? All right, what do you see about Jesus from this picture? I'm just going to take a couple comments. Yeah, Daniel. Powerful, right? Yeah.
He's definitely not the lamb that I
stand
through the gospel.
All right. But he is.
Yeah.
But that's not the aspect you're seeing here.
No.
We're going to see him like a lamb later on. Go ahead.
So, why just being part about wisdom and
knowledge? All right. Wisdom, knowledge. Yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
If you have a character, you like that expression.
For some.
Yeah.
Hmm?
If you have a character, you like describing the
elephant kid. If you
have a character, you like
Uh-huh.
The red eyes again.
Yeah, yeah. And these different aspects are symbolic. The white hair, I don't think that symbolizes being old. I don't think so. I think it symbolizes purity. And the bronze feet symbolizes his strength. And then those eyes that penetrate, that pierce. He takes one look at you and he sees down into your soul. And you are laid bare before Jesus. And we're praying to Jesus. This is who we're praying to. I'm not saying the other vision of Jesus isn't real. It is real. You know, in the Old Testament it says, you know, bruised reed he would not break. He was gentle like a lamb. And God is gentle with his people. But with those who oppose him, oh my goodness, you read the book of Revelation, he's tough, man. Lamb is not describing that situation. A double-edged sword, coming out of his mouth.
Wow.
Absolute authority to judge by what he speaks. John 12:48, the very words I speak will judge. To sum it up, I see power. I see holiness. I see majesty. I see omniscience. I see power. And you know what he's doing here? If you read into chapter 1, he's walking among the lampstands. And the lampstands are the churches. And he's kind of walking around. He's going down this aisle, and he's going back up this aisle, coming around this way, and he's coming back around. And he's standing among the churches. That's the Jesus that we worship. Now, let's go forward. We're going to mainly just read some passages. I'll make a few comments, but we're mainly going to be reading. I'm going to let the Scripture speak for itself. So, let's skip forward to Revelation 4. So, in Revelation 1, we just get a brief introduction to Jesus. Enter Jesus. All right, now, instead of Jesus entering, we're actually moving. You know, it's us who are moving into the stage instead of somebody coming out on the stage. Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had heard first speak to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I'll show you what must soon take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven. And who's sitting on that throne? God is sitting on the throne. And one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white robes. They had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing, and these are the seven spirits of God. And also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day after day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they were created and had their being." This is the Father that we pray to. Now, in this picture, there's a throne, and it's made out of jasper. And jasper is a white stone that represents purity. And it's also made out of carnelian. And carnelian is a bright red stone that represents God's justice and His righteousness. And then you got to get the picture. I mean, this is quite a picture here. All right, so there's the jasper, the brilliant white stone, and then the carnelian, the brilliant red stone. And then there's this rainbow, and the rainbow represents God's promise and His covenant that He's never going to break. It's kind of cool. And then there's these 24 elders. And if you came to a Revelation class, you know why the 12 and the 12. It represents God's people. You know who these elders are? That's us. I mean, symbolically, that's us. And we're standing. Now, the thing is, you got to get the picture. There's the Father. All right, yeah, a little different. There's the Father, and then there's the cherubim, and then there's the sea of glass, and then there's the elders on the other side with their crowns. And what we're doing is we're just falling at God's feet, taking our thrones, throwing to the ground, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Now, what's that sea of glass about? Well, the sea of glass represents perfection. And see, at this point, there's that sea of glass. We're separated from God still. Right? There's that sea of glass. And basically, there's perfection over here, and then there's this sea of glass. You know, we're there. We're kind of outside the throne. We're falling down, bowing, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." But there's still that sea of glass. Read Revelation 21:1. And it says, "The sea of glass is no more." All right? So at this point, see, heaven hasn't been established. All right? So we're there, and we're bowing down before the Father, and we're throwing our crowns, because each of us has a crown. We're throwing our crown down, and we're worshiping the Father. And then those strange creatures. Who are they? They're the cherubim. And the cherubim, their job is to protect the holiness of God. So right now, I mean, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Okay, got it? But we're not worthy. Even now, there's still that crystal sea. And I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to walk across that crystal sea, because those cherubim are going to, you know, probably take me out, all right? And these guys, they got eyes all over, their whole body covered with eyes. And even when they lift up their wings, there's eyes under there. And because they're watching out, because they're protecting the holiness of God. These are the same cherubim who, when Adam and Eve got kicked out, they stood on the edge of the garden. They said, "Nobody's coming in here." Because, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, we lost our place with God. These are the same cherubim. These are the same cherubim in Ezekiel chapter 1. You know, the wheels and all that, it's like, that is really strange stuff. You know, you got these cherubim, and what they're, again, their job is to protect the holiness of God. Because God is very holy. And these are strange. They got those wheels. It's kind of, you know, the wheels. And they go this way. And they go that way. And they go all over. What's that about? Well, what it's about is God. Because it's like God's chariot. Because to them, you know, a king basically represented the kingdom. And wherever the king went, that's where the kingdom was. And so God's in this chariot. But it's a pretty cool chariot. It's kind of floating around. It's going wherever. The bottom line is, I mean, God can go wherever he wants. And so the cherubim are there, and the cherubim are protecting the holiness of God. And you know, when we pray, it's like these elders are representing us as we're standing before God, bowing down in that crystal sea that separates us from the throne of God. It's kind of cool. You know, there's the seven lamps there. The seven spirits, which represents the Holy Spirit who's there. There's the sea of crystal. There's the four living creatures. Isaiah 6, verse 2. Ezekiel 10 is more about these cherubim. All right, so what I get the sense here is God's unbelievable majesty and holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord that we worship. It's pretty cool. But there's a missing character. There's the Holy Spirit. There's the Father. Where's Jesus? Well, let's read chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. I wept. This is the Apostle John. I wept and I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and to look inside. And by the way, what's on the scroll is the message of Revelation. That's what's on that scroll. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." And then I looked, and I saw a lamb standing as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Alright, so we're in the throne room, and you know, the one thing is Revelation is full of the word throne. The word throne is mentioned 41 times in the book of Revelation alone. It's mentioned 181 times in the Bible, and almost a quarter of them are right there in Revelation. So one thing as you're thinking about your relationship with God, think about a throne. And who's not sitting on that throne? Definitely not us, that's for sure. The word throne in Greek is thronos. Gee, I can see where that came from. All right, means to sit, to judge, to have authority. In Revelation 3:21, "To him who overcomes, we will sit with me on the throne." Imagine that. Because God's saying at some day, you're going to be sitting on his lap. Imagine that. This guy with the carnelian and the jasper and the rainbow and, you know, all this sort of stuff and the four cherubim. And someday we're going to sit on his lap. incredible. And we can experience that to some extent even in this life. Revelation 4:2, we've seen the throne already. From the throne comes flashes of light and thunder. They're setting down their crowns before the throne. Millions of angels are surrounding the throne. Revelation 7:9, multitudes standing before the throne. Revelation 8:3, incense, the prayer of the saints. And whenever you see this incense in Revelation, you have to understand it represents the prayers. And these guys are carrying this incense, the bowls of prayers. All right, and we're going to see a little bit of difference between our prayers and the throne of God now and what the Jews had to deal with, but I'll talk about that a bit later on. So this concept of a throne is throughout Revelation. All right, let me see. I'm going to skip these slides. I already talked about these things. Those are great. Ezekiel 10, the wheels, all that stuff. All right. Now, you know, I tried to find a picture online of Jesus in Revelation 5. And every picture you get is ridiculous and it's silly. I mean, you know, what would a lamb looking like it was slain, what would that look like? I just try to imagine that. And this lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. All right, the seven horns represent the power. And the seven eyes represent his ability to know what's going on. I mean, this lamb, it's not your typical lamb. He's the Lion of Judah. And yet he's the Lamb of God. That's amazing. When we think of a lion, we think of a king. We think of a conqueror. He's described here as being victorious, right? See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Messiah, has triumphed. He's able to open the scroll. You know, and Jesus can speak as a lion, or he can speak as a lamb. Now, hopefully, when it comes to you, he speaks as a lamb. But you know what? If there's sin, you know, he might come out as a lion. But either way, he's like a lion. I mean, Jesus is awesome. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. It's pretty amazing. And he opens the seal. Seven horns, perfect in power. Seven eyes, perfect in knowledge. And then a worship breaks out. I almost said worship service. Then a worship breaks out. You know, and of course, we all know that angels have harps, right? No, angels never have harps. There's nowhere in the Bible that angels ever have harps. The only one who ever has harps in the Bible is us. All right? We're the ones with the harps. All right? And what are we doing with those harps? We're worshiping. And really, in heaven, worship seems to come down to singing and praising God. Just singing and praising God. And again, if you don't like singing, and if you don't like praising God, then, you know, you're going to find heaven to be kind of boring and nothing great. But then there's that incense. And those are the prayers of the saints. And see, you have to understand, you have to get the picture. Get the picture of this throne of jasper and carnelian and emerald and a rainbow and the Father on the throne and the seven lampstands, the Holy Spirit, and the Lamb as if he was slain. And when you're praying, the smoke of your prayers is rising right there before the throne. Because that's the picture. Because the picture of Revelation 4 and 5 is the picture of the tabernacle. All the imagery is from the tabernacle. But the difference is, in the tabernacle, there was the altar of incense, and then there was the curtain. And you know what was in the curtain? It pictures of the cherubim. And the cherubim say, ain't coming in here. All right, but see, not in Jesus. In Jesus, now there's still that crystal sea. That's going to get eliminated at the end of time, you know, when we actually come into heaven. So we're not there yet, but it's kind of cool. So they're singing a song. And what's the theme of the song? The theme of the song is, worthy is the Lamb. Don't we sing a song kind of like that? You are worthy. Right? I think they took the song right out of this passage, I'm pretty sure. You are worthy to take the scroll. In fact, Daniel, can we just go ahead and sing "You Are Worthy"? Where's Daniel? Did he step out? All right. He's in the restroom. All right. There's the throne room and then there's the restroom. Those are two different things, you know? But I just feel like when he comes out, we gotta, you know, we'll give him a few seconds to recover from me having said that, and we'll have him come up. All right. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests. Praise the Lord. The promise of Exodus 19:6 has come true. In Exodus 19:6, God said to his people, I'm going to make you a nation of kings and priests. And through Jesus, we are a nation of kings and priests. Now, when we go into the throne, man, we take that crown off, we put that on the ground, you know, kind of wear that. But we're priests worshiping. Because remember, only the priests could go into the holy place. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But because of Jesus, we get to go right in. That's pretty good. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they said, we're talking about 100 million angels. And us, bowing down before the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. That's the Jesus that we worship. Every time we pray. Brother, we feel like we need to break out in song right now. We want to sing "You Are Worthy." Can you do that?
I was
going to
sing "I Feel Good."
Oh, no, no. 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 I get it. All right. Yeah, I know you could hear. We knew you could hear us. We're laughing at you. All right, we'll do that later. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth. So first, it's us around the throne with the cherubim and the elders there, and then 100 million angels kind of break into worship, and then every creature in heaven and earth. I've heard the dogs, the cats, the lions, the trees, the whatever, and we're all. On the heaven and on earth and on the sea and all that in singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures who protect the holiness of God say, Amen.
Amen.
And then we fell down in worship. But that's practically just the beginning of worshiping God. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 7. I mean, worship, it's like we're going along in Revelation and this, that, and the other thing. All of a sudden, all right, time to worship. And they stop what they're doing. And they just stop worshiping. Well, how about us? How about if sometimes we just break out and start worshiping? Because if we understood God, we'd be doing this, the other thing. All of a sudden, we're like, I need to worship. I just need to worship. I just need to sing. I just need to pray. Revelation 7, starting in verse 10. And they all cried out in a loud voice. And by the way, this is the 144,000, the ones that were sealed. But it's not literally 144,000 because it's a great multitude that no one could count. And we've gotten sealed against the devil's attacks. So we're fired up right now because we're sealed. And nobody can get after us. Those demons, they don't stand a chance. So we're like, man, we need to start praying. And then they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne. And we worshiped God and we said, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. That's the God we worship. Then one of the elders asked me, those people in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from? And John said, he doesn't want to make a mistake. He says, hey, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. That's that tabernacle. You know, it's Jesus, He came and dwelt among us. That means He tabernacled among us. And so He lived among us, and we live among Him. And the Jews would build that tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles, and just celebrate. They would. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles is about. The best. It was the most important festival of the year. Not Passover, not Yom Kippur. It was the Feast of Tabernacles, where they just go out and celebrate having a relationship with God. And they remembered about going around the wilderness, and that tabernacle was there, and the fire, and the column of smoke. All right? And who sits on the throne will spread His tent. God is spreading His tent, just like Saturday night, you'll see, there's going to be a tent. There's going to be some kind of a tent, all right? He's spreading His tent over us. Never again will there be hunger. Never again will there be thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching hurt. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear. And then there's Revelation 11. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, Revelation 11. There's a lot of worship there. Starting in verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And He will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, that's us, we're seated on our thrones before God. We fell on our faces and we worship God, saying, we give thanks to You, O Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was, because You have taken Your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry and Your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding Your servants, the prophets and Your saints and those who reverence Your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within His temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant. And there came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder and earthquake and a great hailstorm. And of course, you understand, in the tabernacle there was the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was the place where God dwelt. And of course, as it says in Hebrews 9, it's just a picture. It's like a diorama. Like one of those, remember when you made those little shoebox dioramas when you were a kid? And it's kind of like that. So the tabernacle, you know, there the Jews had was like a diorama, which is, you know, a pretty mini little representation of the much bigger thing. And inside, behind those cherubim, you know, you got to get through the cherubim. Now, by the way, at the end of time, when God sets up the new heaven and the new earth, I think the cherubim is just going to kind of step back. Come on in. Because the sea of glass is not going to be there anymore. All right? But anyway, so what you had was this mercy seat. And inside the ark was the law. What did that represent? That represented works salvation. You know, it represented you got to do this and this and this. and that, and that, and that, and you can't do this, 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 and this, and you can't do that, and you got to do this, 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 and this. And how well did we live up to that? Not at all. So what's on top of the law? The mercy seat. The throne of God. And what was put on that mercy seat? The one in heaven? The blood of Jesus. So that covers it. That work salvation stuff, man, that's covered. And then over the throne, it was called the mercy seat, or literally called the throne of God. It's a picture. And then there's the cherubim, the four cherubim. And it's like the four wings were like 1, 2, 3, 4, surrounding. And it's like, you're not going in there, man. You're not going in there. And that's the picture. And so what we're seeing here is kind of a picture of heaven. It's kind of cool, actually. All right, now this is a picture of the holy place with the Holy of Holies behind it. And so, you know, basically when you came into the holy place, what you have is the sun on the right, the bread, the Holy Spirit on the left, the menorah with the oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in Zechariah 4. And then you got this prayers right there on the incense. And they see those cherubim, they're saying, no. He's too holy. But you know what happened to that curtain when Jesus died. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10.
Come on,
John. Hebrews 10. Verse 19. And I want you to remember this. I want you to remember the picture of the Father, the picture of the Son. In the Holy of Holies, the heavenly tabernacle. But I want you to remember this passage here. Because this is what a relationship with God is about. It's not a check mark on a piece of paper. It's not what it's about. You know, in heaven, they don't have to have accountability for worshiping God. You know what I'm saying? They don't need to be reminded every month or two. They don't need to have a lesson saying, by the way, you have to stay close to God. They don't need that kind of stuff. It's just not needed. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body. That curtain in that picture ain't there anymore. It's gone. All right? The cherubim, at least when we get in heaven, kind of like stepping aside. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our body washed with pure water. All right, great. Now, just a couple more worship scenes. All right. I'm going to skip some of that. That's pretty good stuff. All right. Let's skip forward to Revelation 19. I was going to do a little thing from Revelation 15. All right, worship breaks out there, but I'm going to finish up in Revelation 19. I hope you're impressed with God. I hope you feel blessed to the point where it's just ridiculous that you get to be in this scene, to bow at this throne, to sing a new song, and to worship Him who is holy and mighty and powerful. So, this is my favorite. Of all the worship that happens in the book of Revelation, this is my favorite. And they're just breaking out. And what's the word hallelujah mean, by the way?
Praise God.
Praise God. Yeah, it just means praise God. Praise God. I mean, yeah. They're just walking down the streets, all of a sudden, praise God. Now, it's kind of weird. I mean, some people, it's kind of weird. They just say praise God. And you know, it's just, but, you know, hey, praise God. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting. Apparently at Kansas City Chief Games, they measured 137 decibels one time. And I guess a jet engine is 125 decibels. Well, I'm telling you, a Kansas City Chiefs football game ain't nothing. It's like, in worship in heaven, it's like a roar of 100 million jet engines. But we have special ears that can take it, you know what I'm saying? You know, special ears.
What was that?
And we're shouting, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are His judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the world by her adulteries and avenged on her the blood of His servants. That's Rome that had attacked the church. And again they shouted, hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. These guys are praising God that He sends those who reject Him to hell. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to say, that's right and good. Because God is holy. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and they worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, both small and great. And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of 100 million jet engines. Well, close. And like loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. This is so cool. Who's the bride?
Us.
This is the wedding scene. And we're married to the Lamb. And we're wearing fine linen, bright and clean, which stands for the righteous acts of the saints. And then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. But we are invited. We've been invited. And he added, these are the true words of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do it. He's worshiping one of these angel guys. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. This is Jesus. With justice He judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on His head are many crowns. He has a name written on Him that no one knows but He Himself. He is dressed in a robe dripped in blood, and His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following Him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of His mouth comes a sharp sword with which He strikes down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. Wow. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on His robe and on His thigh, His name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can we sing that song together, Daniel?
Yes, we can.
Great. I think we need to stand up, don't we need to stand up?
Yeah,
I think we need to stand up. And those sitting in heaven.
Hey man, let's just sing together. The men started, the women echo. We'll sing, You Are Holy.
You are holy. You are mighty. You are worthy, worthy of praise. I will follow, I will listen, I will love You all of my days. And worship the King.
will bow down before Him. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for You.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise. I will follow.
I will listen.
And I will live my life for You. Amen. All right. You are the one.
Come on, Gary. Come on,
Gary. Yeah, that was an awesome lesson. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate when people break down Revelation because I just don't get it sometimes. Thanks for the picture that you painted of God and how awesome He is and how we need to just, you know, fall down and worship God. And just really the reason is that we can do that is because of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and I was talking to my Bible talk last night about digging deep to the foundation and having a solid foundation on Jesus and really just having a great relationship with Him. And even just talking to my daughter this Saturday, we had a deep time. It's like, hey, you know, we need to build a relationship with God because we love Him. You know, if we love somebody, we're going to do it because we love them, not because it's rules or we have to. You know, so I just want to encourage you with that. Like, let's love God. Let's love Jesus. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, just so grateful, God, just to be here, just to learn about just worshiping You, God, about building a relationship with You, Father. Well, I just pray You be with the rest of the night, Father. Be with the fellowship, God, be with the singles ministry as a whole, God. Be with the church, God. Father, I just want to pray a special prayer for Nicole and her grandmother. Just be with the family as well, God, and whatever's going on, just heal her up, God. Be with the family, comfort them. Lord, just be with the rest of the night in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Two more weeks of the Revelation class.
Yeah. There were some notes before God Almighty reigned.
Huh?
There were some notes that you kind of missed. I didn't get to see them.
Or do you have it logged in there?
Yeah, I may post it on my website. I may put the notes up.
Okay.
No, evidenceforchristianity.com.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I have it. Okay.
The fact...
It's the one before 19, 1 and 10.
In fact...
I'm sorry for bugging you.
No problem. There's my notes right there.
Yeah, that's the ones I was talking about.
All right.
I'm not trying to just go through your stuff.
Go for it.
Oh, thank you.